It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That was our next guest, Jordan Mailata, who joins us every week. Brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, did you expect the world to hear that you didn't think that Dallas is the fastest guy on the offense?
Oh, man. You know, I forgot I was mic'd up.
Oh, man. That was classic. Yeah, that was classic. Unhook the trailer. That was classic.
Yeah. I'm surprised people haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, well.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. So, Jordan, a big win in a lot of different ways. First of all, the situation going to New Orleans with the way they were playing, but then the way the game played out. Nick said earlier today that he thought that whole experience helped bring the team together in a way. Do you agree with that?
100% I agree with that. You could just feel it on the sideline. Every time, whether it was defense coming off the field, we were there. Like, hey, we're going to get some points. And every time we didn't get points, the defense was there waiting for us, dapping us up. Like, hey, we're going to get you the ball back. And, from the first, not saying the first 2 weeks weren't like that, but I don't know, I guess the situation that we were put in just forced everyone to come together. And it was truly special, man. It was a really special game.
I think it says a lot, man. You know, I heard Nick talking about this earlier today. You know, coming off that tough loss last week versus Atlanta, you're on a short week. You got to go down to New Orleans. And, you know, everybody's worried, oh, man, is the team going to stay together? Or they start pointing the finger. You know, got all this noise on the outside of the building. But it seems like you guys pulled together closer as a unit and fought your way through that game Sunday and came out there with the W. Would you say that's sort of accurate that, you know, all the noise from last week, you know, may have been able to allow you guys to sort of pull together closer?
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with that. I mean, it's a pretty simple recipe to play in Philly. And I think, you know, Kelsey said it best, just give everything you have. And we understood the message after last week's loss, or the week before, sorry. And everyone, you know, we have pride. And everybody has pride in that team. And we went out there and with a mission, with a, you know, trying to put a statement out there, especially for our defense. They were getting a lot of it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we just had to, in turn, play complimentary football, you know, and have our defenses back. But in truth, the defense had our back. I mean, they played a phenomenal game.
Talking to Jordan Mailata, who joins us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. So Coach Sirianni got a lot of heat for the fourth down call at the end of the first half. And overall, right, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of conversation about Nick's calls. Can you tell us what the team's relationship with Nick Sirianni is like and sort of what he means to the team? What he is doing that helps prepare you guys for the game?
In terms of, I mean, he's our head honcho. He's our guy. He's the guy who's going to put us in great positions. If he chooses to go for fourth down, you know, we know that's him. That's his identity. That's in his DNA. And we have to have his back, and we do. You know, and it's our job as players. We got to execute, and we weren't executing on those fourth down plays. I'm not going to sit here and say it was a, you know, bad call by Coach. We know, we understand why he's doing it. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of our situation. We know that that's what he likes to do. So we're always ready to do, you know, convert the fourth downs. And whenever we don't and we're not converting a fourth down, that's on us as players. We weren't executing. And as bad as, you know, as much stick as Nick is getting, we're just not executing the right techniques on the plays. And, you know, it's in turn getting backlash from Coach. And so I think it goes two ways. You know, players need to speak up and, you know, take ownership of, you know, not executing the play right. And then, you know, Coach is taking a lot of heat. And, you know, again, he teaches us situational awareness. And that's something that he always talks to us about and, you know, apologizes to us and making sure that he understands and that we all understand that we're a team and why he does these things, mm-hmm, go for it. He's got to have it situations.
What was that message like last week? You guys were down a couple people. I mean, AJ's been out now. I think he's missed, what, two games? Yeah, AJ's missed two games now.
Yeah.
You lost a couple of linemen in the game. What was, like, the message going into that game last week? Like, what was the thing that he wanted to harp on that you guys seemingly honed in on and went down there and got somewhat of an improbable win when a lot of people were picking against the Eagles this past week versus New Orleans? I'm just sort of interested in sort of Nick's message to the team last week.
It was stick together and the next man up. You know, yeah. Whoever was going to be in, filling in for AJ's position, that was it. Yeah, togetherness and mm-hmm. then the next man up mentality. You know, that's a big Philadelphia Eagles, I guess, part of the team culture here. It's always been about that way. And then, you know, we face some adversity. You know, what are we going to do when we face adversity? How are we going to overcome it? Belief in the process. And, man, you sure saw that on Sunday. We faced some adversity, holy cow, with all the injuries we were having. And you just saw the next guy, the next man up, come in and execute and play his role in the team, and it was special, man. I think that's what made it even special, just facing the adversity that we did on Sunday and having the guys answer the call.
Ike mentioned the injuries that you just did, and then Tyler Steen comes in, steps in, plays well. Fred Johnson comes in, steps in, plays well. Not to take anything away from those guys, but one thing that we talk about a lot and that people talk about a lot is how good an offensive line coach Stoutland is. Can you explain what makes him good at his job?
Detail and care. I think it doesn't matter if you're the starter or a backup. He's going to coach you the same way that he would. You know, there's no favoritism in there. Everyone gets coached the same way. And I think that's what players respect, and they can understand him. As hard as he coaches, we understand that at the end of the day, this guy just wants to put his players in the best position possible. And I think it showed. It showed how good coaching can affect the team. And you know, when you have an offensive lineman coach like Stout, proof is in the pudding, I guess.
Well, I mean, in yourself, I know being drafted seventh rounder, hadn't played football. No offense, you playing rugby, but I know you had to sort of be shaped and molded into the player that you are now. And as a starting left tackle in this league and one of the best in the league, I always think about the culture that Coach Stoutland has sort of developed in that offensive line meeting room, right? From the Jason Peters, you know, obviously the Jason Kelsey's, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, so many great players he's had in there. It has to be significant. The guys like yourself are hoping to, I guess, keep that culture sustained as the young guys come up. I'm sure that's something you take pride in.
Yeah, we take extreme pride in that, especially myself, Lane, and Lane. You know, we've been there the longest in that room this year. And so, you know, Stout always talks about show me, don't tell me. And so when we go out to practice, we practice as hard as we can, trying to execute these blocks if we're in T-shirts, you know. And I think that kind of sets the tone for everyone behind us in that room who are our backups. You know, they understand the level that they have to play to, get to. And so, you know, when we watch their reps, we watch it as a unit, and you know, you don't want to let the guy down that you play next to. And so I think the culture that Stout has set is just one of show me, don't tell me.
So, you know, offensive linemen like run blocking. Yeah, I know you want to do your both, but run blocking.
No,
you know,
they like run blocking.
You like run
yes.
blocking. It must be fun to run block for a guy like Saquon Barkley.
So fun. It's so fun. I keep telling him, especially on that play, that long touchdown run. Oh, so beautiful. It was so beautiful to watch him being chased by the guy.
By defensive backs, by the way. You know?
I was like, come on. I knew he had it in the bag, so I was like, just rooting for him the whole way. I was like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. But yeah, it's really fun when you have such a dynamic player on the team, such an explosive player, too. The explosive plays are coming, but you just, you know, again, as an offensive line, you have to give him the opportunity to make those plays. That's all we focus on. We always focus on every player could be an explosive with Saquon. We just have to execute the job up front.
So you'd say he's faster than Goddard is?
Just a little bit. Just a little faster.
What did I say before? I said the proof is in the pudding.
Right? Yeah, yes, for sure, definitely. All right, Jordan. Well, that was a great win, and you know, one more before the bye week. But it was, you know, it was an exciting win for all of us. And I'd be lying if I told you that I had a ton of confidence going down in New Orleans. But I'm glad that you guys held together and put it together. So I appreciate you joining us. But a great win.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks,
all right, big man.
There he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, slightly faster.
Slightly faster.
Slightly faster.
That is some good mic'd up there, the whole unhook the trailer.
Yeah.
You know what reminds me? It reminds me of the Super Bowl year when Jay Ajayi broke the long run. And who was it on the sideline? Kenyon Barner that was giving Jay Ajayi a lot of grief.
Oh, because he got caught.
Because he got caught.
Yeah.
He got caught from behind. Come on, man. This is about an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
By the way,
they blew the doors off the Broncos that day.
No. This is the Cowboys.
What is that? They
blow the doors off the Broncos.
Hey, remember when they blew out teams?
Yeah.
Well, that year, they blew out a few teams. Yeah.
It's been forever since we've had a laugher kind of Eagles win.
It's true.
The Jay Ajayi thing, just looking back at that team, the number of players who just sort of disappeared after that, you know, Corey Blunt and you know, Jay Ajayi.
It was like the one year.
Alshon, that was
the one year everything worked.
Yeah,
yes. Lightning in a bottle, and
it was the only way we were ever going to win our first Super Bowl.
Yes,
there's
with
no
the backup quarterback. yeah, for sure.
Now we need another one.
Yes.
All right, I can't play, but you can get my neck roll if you want for me.
Yeah, we'll get your neck roll.
Get my neck roll. Now, I know about tackling, and you can tackle your game day menu this Eagles season with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles from Dietzen Watson. Relax, man. Fire up that grill at the tailgate with perfectly smoked premium Franks. Let me get through this. Okay. And sausages in bold flavors like jalapeno cheddar and bacon cheddar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like that, don't you, Jack? Sandwiches are always better with freshly sliced meats and artisan cheeses from Dietzen Watson. Head to DietzenWatson.com to find the local retailer near you. Dietzen Watson, it's a family thing.
Oh! Do we need Meat Week from John
Johnson? Hadn't heard him in a while.
Do we need Meat Week from John Johnson?
Dude, listen, if you're going to do Peanut Butter Week, mix in some meat.
Yeah. Chuck and Mount Airy, you're on WIP.
I'm down.
What up, Chuck?
Hey, John Johnson is a strange individual, I tell you. Yo, what up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, man?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, why didn't Nick Sirianni stand on business?
I just
got a question.
I said, what happened? What you mean stand on business?
Why didn't he stand on business this offseason? You know, you knew coming into the season what you were signing yourself up for.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you trying to make us suffer with this? You should have, listen, what I'm saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want to make us suffer as fans to go through this again? Why do you want to make your team suffer again by going through this? You have to implement yourself in everything just to make yourself feel validated. That's not our problem. That's a personal problem. Why didn't you take that up with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie the offseason and say, you know what? I'm a Super Bowl pairing quarterback. I mean, or coach, I'm sorry. I deserve more respect than this.
That's a great idea.
I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm going to respectfully decline because I want to pick my own offensive coordinator. I want to be able to call my own offensive plays. And if you don't think I'm able to do that here, then thank you. Goodbye. And he still would have gotten paid.
Well, because then he wouldn't have gotten another job. I understand what you're saying.
Doug got another job.
Doug won a Super Bowl.
Got another job.
Doug won a Super Bowl.
But Nick Sirianni appeared in the Super Bowl.
It's different.
What I'm trying to say is this.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is this. There's no justification for you overstepping your boundaries with the offensive coordinator. Okay? There's no justification for that. You know, Mike Tomlin doesn't do that. Harbaugh doesn't do that. Sean McDermott don't do that. You know, they got the number one offense in the league.
Well, but Sean McDermott, wait. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach. You know, like I guess if you don't want him to have input into the offense, he's an offensive coach. And I know you'll say then they shouldn't have hired him anyway. And I guess I don't entirely disagree. But then I just don't think you could have him as a coach. Obviously, he's going to have input into the offense.
My point exactly, Spike. This is something the Eagles should have let him go. It's a dark cloud hanging over the franchise because he's got a point to prove to me. That's what I see out there. And my thing is this. Imagine what he did to poor old, what's his name?
Brian Johnson.
I mean, good God. Imagine what he did to him. Look what Brian Johnson's doing up there in Washington right now with that offense.
He's a quarterback coach. Brian Johnson's a quarterback coach.
I know, but the quarterback looks great. I know. I understand that.
It's just a different job. I don't think you're wrong, Chuck. I think they have put him in a bad position. I understand why he didn't say, I'm out of here. I get that. There's 32 jobs. He is not established enough to go get another head coaching job. I understand where he's coming from. But I also agree with you that I do think that there is maybe not a dark cloud, but there is a constant umbrella of the Nick thing all year long that they have created by the way that the offseason went. And I do think, and this isn't me saying that Nick is or isn't a good coach, but I do think that they probably should have fired him. But they might have waited too long. The coach that they wanted might not have been available, so on and so forth. But I also think that I'm not in his brain, but he exhibits the traits of somebody who does not want to hire a coach who will have too much say. He wants to be the one to make those decisions. And I think it's probably why he hired Doug. It's why Doug left. I think it's why he hired Nick. And I think it's part of why they have the problem this year. And I think it has put Nick in a very difficult situation where when he takes the blame for something that isn't his fault, he's just getting the blame. And then when they succeed at something, he doesn't get any credit for it.
I don't want to hear that no more, Spike.
It's true.
I don't want to hear that no more. You knew what you were signing yourself up for when you came in. You get paid $7.5 million a year to be the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. It's a responsibility that comes with that. You knew that Kellen Moore was coming in here to transform this office, to transform Jalen Hurts. And for you to override him because you want to do a tush push, something that you claim to fame, it's just ridiculous to me, man. And I tell you one thing, he's going to get his ass fired if he just don't sit back and save himself from himself. I told you, he had his hand in the cookie jar. I told you guys that. Mm. He still does. And they don't know how to just stay away. I'm not saying, don't be, a part of the team.
I know what you're saying.
He go over to Vic Fangio and be like, no, we're not going to do this play because I want to do this play. Kellen Moore came here for a job. Now, he can't do a job effectively. He got somebody over top of him for him to do certain things. You couldn't succeed doing it in the first place. Why do you have to bring him in? Why are you trying to override this guy? And now we're off to a 2-1 start. The offense don't look so damn good.
Yeah, listen, and you and I normally go back and forth with this, and I he's been more influential than I expected him to be the first couple weeks of the season. I didn't expect, after all this offseason and having clear, defined roles and all this other stuff, I didn't expect Nick Sirianni's decisions to be so integral this early in the season.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, we really have spent the last 2 weeks talking about his decisions.
Yeah.
And going forward on fourth down. So, yeah, I got to admit, my antennas are up. And you start to wonder, oh, man, are we going back to what it was last year? Is he overstepping? Is he involving himself too much? What is he doing? Like, I hope that's not the case. I got to tell you, it wasn't encouraging to hear his answer this morning about how many people are involved and he's more involved and we think he is. Like, that didn't calm people's nerves around here.
No.
If anything, it said,
when you take a look at the game, right, and you see the plays that's called, it doesn't – I mean, I've watched Kellen Moore call offenses. You know, I mean, we played against him with Dallas.
Sure.
That don't look like all of his offense.
Well, but
it don't even look like a percentage of – it don't even look like 50% of his offense.
Didn't see much motion this Sunday.
No,
didn't see too much motion this Sunday at all.
Nope.
They went away from the run. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to, speculate and say it's just all is all Nick Sirianni interfering.
Right.
He's the head coach. I get that. But what I'm trying to say is this, right? It was a specific plan in place this offseason. That's what I was told.
Yep.
And it don't look like, you know, he's on agreement with this plan if you're overriding the offensive coordinator.
But
it's just, I mean, it's a chain of command with this thing, and it looks like he just don't trust. He's not trusting nobody but somebody that he picked. And that was Shane Steichen 3 years ago.
I also think it's possible, Chuck. You're saying that you're not seeing what Kellen Moore did in previous stops. The two previous stops in San Diego, thank you for the call, Chuck. The two previous stops in San Diego had quarterbacks who were better throwers than Jalen Hurts is.
I knew it!
It's true.
I knew that's where we were going.
Well, it's true.
Dak is ass.
I don't deny that it's possible that Nick Sirianni, that...
No, I know what you're saying. Kellen Moore can't do all the stuff he normally did.
Of course he can't. Because the quarterback is not... He isn't.
He doesn't like to play from under center.
He doesn't, and he is not as good a passer as Justin Herbert, and he's not as good a passer as Dak Prescott. He's not.
I'm not arguing.
Watch those quarterbacks last night. Watch Josh Allen. Watch Jaden Daniels. Watch Joe Burrow.
Everybody was good except for Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
By the way, Doug's about to ruin two franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah. Oh, God. Doug did not ruin the Bronco.
Yeah, right.
The Bronco ruined the Bronco.
Oh, okay. My ass.
Get out of here. You guys are the Bronco stuff.
Ike the Bronco bust.
I remembered that Ike was the Bronco guy.
Yeah.
We had plenty
when Jack was there, y'all bullied him off the...
I bullied out of everything.
I do remember, not when I go back to
it. Safe to come back.
I remember being negative about Carson personally in the hallways. I wasn't on the air.
Yeah.
I remember getting very sad face, angry Jack when I would do that. And I didn't remember when I first came back, but now that we're talking about it, I didn't know I was coming back to a show with two Bronco guys.
Yeah.
For me, it went from Carson to Bryce, the guys that will defend until, you know.
The Mahomes keep playing the way he's playing. Andy ought to bench him.
That's right. How many turnovers he got?
Five.
That's right. Where's the Bronco? They're probably calling for the Bronco in Kansas City by now.
Yeah,
you think
I'm sure.
So?
I'm sure they're calling.
Pat Mahomes said before the season, I see why he's an MVP at one point.
Oh, okay.
He did.
Yes.
He had one good practice.
Enough out of both of you. Coming up next, there is previously elite team in the NFC that could be in some real trouble.
Oh, yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, because some of their players, perhaps their most important players, are not going to be playing. We will talk about that next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.